Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple. Recommend Apple Podcasts on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. We're taking episode suggestions from Off the Floor directly the entire month of August. We got some cool stuff coming up for you the next couple of weeks, which our followers there provided. Make sure you're a subscriber as well. You can communicate with Heat fans all day long as well. So they're NBA fans and us. Check it out. Again, Off the Floor. Link is right here in the description. $2.99 per month. Also, check out the great sponsors in the Five Reasons Sports Network. I mean, there was no reason to keep watching that Team USA game today except to see if Anthony Edwards was going to go over his prop, right? That's why we stayed on playback. That's what Prize Picks does for you, by the way. He did. He ended up covering it easily. We were sweating out 9.5 because he was like stuck on 7 forever. Anyway, I had a good run. I won all 4 of my cards today. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Legal in the state of Florida. We always told you that they match your initial deposit up to $100. Now they're doing better. You only need to put down $5 when you enter the promo code 5. Play a lineup, they hand you $50 to play. No strings attached. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E, at prizepicks.com. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Well, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. As I mentioned, we were watching Team USA throttle Brazil today. Easily covered the number. Hope you played that on Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN there. I just got sponsors everywhere. Team USA advances to the semifinals. Serbia comes back from, 25 down against Australia. We almost got to see Olympic Patty Mills against Team USA. He probably would have scored 45 points. But alas, no. Instead, we'll see Jokic, and we may see Jovic. He was out sick today, so no report yet on whether or not he'll be ready for the next game, which comes up on Thursday. We'll have coverage for you on playback of that. On the other side of the bracket, mild surprise, I think, the way that Canada was playing. Canada swept through its group, which is considered to be the toughest group in the Olympics. They swept through. They were 3-0, only for Dylan Brooks and Jamal Murray to completely bleep the bed today. And because of that, SGA's 27 were not enough. France advances after benching Rudy Gobert, or at least not starting him in the game. And now they play Germany, which has emerged as kind of the dark horse here. They were the world champions. Dennis Schroeder plays at a different level here, and they've got the Wagner brothers playing extraordinarily well. So what we're going to go through quickly today is, can anybody beat this team? This USA team has really not been pressed since South Sudan did in the exhibition. And of course, they came back and won that game pretty easily. Steve Kerr refuses to start the same starting lineup. I don't really understand why. At this stage, he's pretty much it's like he's starting Curry and LeBron, and then he fills in the other pieces.
Trying to make everyone happy,
I guess. Right. LeBron got some stitches today, but he's expected to be back. He had 9 assists. He's playing at a very, very high level. Still bringing Durant off the bench. Still bringing Edwards off the bench. Still bringing Bam off the bench. Although Bam and AD off the bench, although Bam did start the second half today. First, before we get to who can beat this team, what did you think of Bam's performance today? 9.7 rebounds.
Just doing what he does, man. Like, I think the way that he's been able to, really take advantage of playing with such talent on both ends of the floor has been fun to watch, because I feel like he's willing to take more risk and put himself in places where, you know, we know he can do, but maybe he hesitates to during the Heat season because of the personnel around him and always having to, you know, cover up for so many guys on defense. Like, him just kind of roaming around in the passing lanes and going for these types of steals that he got today, it was fun to watch. And then on other than that, like, he does what he does. Like, he gobbled up a few boards in his first few minutes of his stint, and I just think has been solid all around for them, right? Like, you know, has had a couple of higher scoring games, but most times he's not going to score too many, right? It's just going to be a guy who gets like relief points for you, you know, hits the occasional three or two, and that's great that he's added that to his game. Other than that, like, he really keeps playing while also like despite the fact that they have an extremely talented big man group, right, which it feels like is not usually Team USA's strength. But when you know, despite the fact that he's playing on the same roster as Embiid and AD, he keeps finding minutes. He hasn't been benched yet, and I hope we don't jinx that here. And, you know, we've seen other guys have to kind of sacrifice and not play certain games, and I think it's because of how impactful he is alongside other great players, how he can just fit in with, you know, whichever lineup they want to throw out there, because he doesn't need the ball in his hands too much and can fill in those relief points, can screen, can pass, can roll, and can now pop out to the three occasionally. So it's been cool to see him incorporate that part of his game with the shooting and try to see how it works, right? Kind of test it out a bit because he is being left open. And it's cool to see him try to fit in while adding this new part of his game, and he's able to do certain things he might not do during the heat season. So it's been cool, man. Like, nothing too crazy, but he's doing his job and doing it well enough to where he keeps getting minutes despite who he's playing with.
Well, and I think some people would go to the idea of, well, they're playing Jokic next, and so we're going to see more Embiid. But if anybody watched the first matchup against Serbia, the last thing that you want is more Embiid. Now, Embiid did get the charity start today. And I think he scored 14 in the first half and then sat down afterwards. So they got him some scoring. The matchups between him and Jokic have not gone particularly well. And look, we know AD's history against Jokic. What have the Lakers lost 3,000 consecutive games against Denver in those particular matchups? Bam's going to play in the semi. Like, I look, Spo knows that, look, you're not stopping Jokic if he's playing at the level he was playing at today. He basically carried them back into that game. But Bam makes him work more than others. Just because he's relentless. I feel like he just gets under Jokic's skin a little bit. So I do think you're going to see him in this next game. To me, what this comes down to is, first thing, we don't know if Jovic is going to play, and I don't know how much he's going to be integrated if we're not playing in this past game. But, like, are they going to get good Bogdanović in this game? Like, because they need to get something from their guards. They didn't in the first game, hasn't shot the ball particularly well overall in this tournament. U.S. is, I didn't see what the line is right now, but probably favored in the teens, I would guess, or maybe a little bit more than that. We keep saying this after every game that Bam plays, and I'm glad you hit on this, that he's pretty much been able to slide into any situation. First thing, the three, Anthony Edwards passed him that one today, and, like, Bam goes right up now. Like, there's no hesitation whatsoever, and Spo has to have noticed this. We've talked about this on several podcasts. He really hasn't had a bad game. Like, he really has not had – he's had some games, of course, the triple single thing, and this was a triple single today too, of course. And he got mad at the Heat's social media team for posting his triple single. But we haven't come out of a game and said Bam played poorly. Bam looked like he didn't have energy. And this speaks really well because, again, it's not just them playing right now. It's they're all over the place. And they've been all over the place for the past month. And now they're all – and there it is, 17.5 line. I nearly nailed it. Look at that for U.S. Serbia. So you can play that on Better Edge using code 5RSN. They've been everywhere, and he's been everywhere. I mean, he was fencing. I don't know if people saw that. I guess he's become really close friends. I can never pronounce the guy's name, but he's this very charismatic fencer who Bam actually – you should check out Bam's IG on this because he actually – we usually see Jimmy doing the side quests. Bam has been doing the side quests, and he's been everywhere. And honestly, like, he's become, I think – and we keep saying this, but not just popular with his teammates, but it seems like NBA fans have gravitated towards him. Like, he's the one taking the pictures of Kevin Durant falling asleep on the bus. Like, he's kind of become, like, sort of the clown of this group in a good way. And I just think the whole experience has been great for him. But anyway, pivoting back to this, do you give Serbia any chance to beat you?
For sure. No doubt. I think 17.5 is actually a crazy line, right? Like, I think it's going to be a more competitive game than that. I ultimately think Team USA wins. But having, you know, perhaps the best player in the entire thing, right, is a big help for them. I think Jokic is that good. You mentioned it earlier. Like, he was the reason they had that, you know, wild comeback from a big deficit versus Australia. That was a great game. France-Canada was a great game. So, like we talked about, like, I think these teams are good. Now, nowhere near as talented as Team USA, and maybe the team that was anywhere near as talented with NBA guys got eliminated today in Canada. So, I think the rest of the teams left are all good. Like, France, Germany, and Serbia, I think, are all good. I think Serbia has a chance. I think if Jokic just has a monster game, they can do it. And if, like you mentioned, their shooters get hot and Bogdanovic or the, you know, Petrušev, I think is how you pronounce his name. you know, that guy is an international killer as a shooter. I just think, like, they have, you know, very good chemistry with each other. I don't think they'll win, but I do think it'll be much closer than what the line is saying. And, you know, it would be cool to see Jokic, like, come back from being sick and obviously not too long ago come back from an injury and have a, you know, a good game, because he hasn't really been able to find his rhythm here. Hasn't had a big sample of minutes. Like, they're playing other guys over him that aren't NBA guys. So it would be cool if he came back and was able to, you know, get himself some more minutes on this stage, because I think, you know, we all want to see it.
It's on the other side of the bracket, and then we come back from the break. I want to get into more specifics on Team USA. France, Germany. So you have Wemby, Gobert for what it's worth, Fournier, who, like, he's stashed in the NBA for two seasons and comes out, and all of a sudden he's back to Olympic Fournier. But Schroeder is terrific in international competition. We've seen this. He earned himself a contract because of the World Cup, basically. And obviously now he's, you know, now he has another long-term deal in the NBA. But also the Wagner brother, like, Franz has been tremendous. How do you see that playing out?
I think Germany should probably be favored. I haven't seen the line or anything like that for them for that game. But, you know, they got the gold last time in the World Cup. And like you mentioned, like, they have great chemistry together. They have guys who have just been really productive. Right, like you mentioned, Franz, he's averaging 21 per game, which is pretty impressive to do in international play. Schroeder averaging 18 points a game. You know, former NBA player who didn't really pan out, Isaac Bonga, right? Former Washington Wizard, he's been their third leading scorer at almost 11 points a game. Then you've got Mo Wagner, you got Daniel Theis, right? And that's kind of their core guys. Like, you know, they play together pretty well. They also have a shooter, what's his name? Obst. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but I remember him from last time. Like, I know he can – it feels like all of these teams have, like, shooters that we don't really know about, but then you find out about them when they're left open, right? And, like, the way that Germany was able to win last time really impressed me. I didn't think it was fluky. I just thought they played a nice brand of basketball, and they did that with Franz Wagner struggling last time. And, of course, this is going to be much tougher for them. Like, it's tougher competition. But he's been really good for them, right? So it's not just Schroeder trying to do everything offensively. Like, I think their team looks maybe even better than last time around. So they should be favored. But France, like, you've got Victor down there. You've got Gobert down there. He got benched today. I wonder if they start him versus Germany, or if they just keep going. Because, I mean, they got off to a really nice start today with, you know, Gobert not starting. So I have a feeling it's going to continue in that trend. Or maybe it was just a matchup-based thing. But France has talent. Victor is a cheat code in himself. And I think, like, Evan Fournier is a guy who turns up in an international play and can really shoot the ball, had a big game today, and is their second leading scorer, actually third leading scorer behind another former NBA player in Gershon Yabusele. I think he was like a top 20 pick for the Celtics a few years ago, and didn't really pan out, but he is – you know, he is a force. He's really big, really strong, and is kind of like a very physical 3-and-D wing out there, and is, you know, has just been a – he had a huge game today as well versus Australia. And, I mean, I'm sorry, not Australia, versus Canada. And, you know, I've just been very impressed with the way all these teams are playing. Like, it's very competitive basketball out there. I thought the two games today outside of USA-Brazil were fantastic. Like, the atmosphere, you know, was you could feel it through the screen, and the brand of basketball is very physical. So I was really enjoying it. And then USA Brazil was just like, you know, shout out to Brazil for trying. It was just the gap in talent was just too huge. And that game was over by the second quarter.
Yeah. Other than Bruno, they didn't have a whole lot there. I am surprised.
Oh my God, by the Bruno, way, bring him back to the league.
Well, he's a long-term project. I am a little surprised by the way that Canada flopped today. You know, Dylan Brooks not shooting so well in a big game. We've seen Jamal that before. Murray. Jamal Murray has some questions to answer. Like that is, you know,
what honestly, is it about the Jokic screen and the Jokic two-man game that it's just he becomes on fire? Like, I don't think he missed a shot versus the Heat in the finals.
Yeah, but I also don't think he's in shape. He didn't look in shape to me. I think there's going to be some questions. I don't know, but he looked awful the whole tournament. I mean, RJ Barrett looked better most of the tournament than he did, and Dort was better than him. They were all better than him. Like he did not play very well, and that's kind of a weird thing to watch.
Or they weren't playing Nikhil Alexander Walker either.
No, I know. Well, I think
I'm sorry to keep interrupting. Speaking of guys that are playing, you know, we mentioned France. Bilal Coulibaly, who was a lottery pick last year and played with Victor before they got drafted. You know, he's pretty good. He's not playing for France either. So it tells you about, like, even though there's not that many NBA guys, like the level of, you know, I just think competition, it's real. Like Coulibaly is not being gifted a starting spot because he was a lottery pick in the NBA.
Yeah, well, Tyrese
Halliburton is playing over him.
Well, and again, that was a failed Knicks draft pick. I want to do real quick when we come back. I want to do stock up, stock down on the guys who are on this Team USA. So we're just going to do stock up, stock down, what we've gotten out of all of them. I'll go through some of the numbers. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor, Five Reasons Sports Network. Stock always up here, our friend Lynette, two N's, two T's. Find her insurance by Lynette.com, 954-581-8800. One of the biggest Heat fans that we know. She's on our Discord, Off the Floor. She's always with us on playback as well and following the podcast. 954-581-8800. You need car insurance, life insurance, renter's insurance, homeowner's insurance. She's the person to go to, the insurance agency that works for you, based in Lauderhill, services the entire Tri-County area. 954-581-8800 or insurancebylynette.com. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan. All right. Leading the U.S. in scoring. I believe this is updated. Anthony Edwards, 16.8 points, 3.5 rebounds, 1.8 assists. There was a lot of garbage time points today, which we benefited from on Prize Picks. Would you say 23 years old? He's been everywhere. He's been all over social media. He's been sort of he's gone to a lot of events. Again, he's kind of the happy-go-lucky one on this team, so to speak. I got to think his stock is up just from in terms of perception, which is what we're doing here. Just in terms of the fact that he's fit with this group, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he came into it, after kind of becoming the alpha last year, right? Wow. And taking that role and then coming into it this year talking about, oh, they're gonna have to work how to play around me, right? Like, I'm gonna be the number one option, and having those comments, and he's backed it up. Like, he hasn't been the number one option necessarily, but when he comes in the game, like, he finds his way, and I think he doesn't try to do too much with the ball. Like, when he gets hot, I think he's a heat check guy. Like, he will try to get the ball back and make a play, whether it's to shoot or you know, like, he can pass every now and then when they send extra help, extra attention. But, like, the guy can really score and get his own bucket. Like, the athleticism is just awesome. And I do think he's a guy who can play alongside others, because they've got guys who can pass the ball, and they've got other guys who can score the ball. Like, they don't need him to create everything. So I think it's been cool seeing him try to fit in as well. And we know he can defend. So, you know, and you've been seeing him in these lineups with Bam, sometimes Bam and AD, a lot of times with KD as well. And then, like, a Derek White, like, those lineups are insanely hard to score on. And you know, I think Ant has done a pretty good job of, even when, you know, he's not getting like a huge amount of shots up, of still trying to, you know, be a threat out there and play defense. Like, it doesn't need to be him, but yet he still comes out as leading scorer right now. And these stats, by the way, are for the last four games. So the tournament game today and the three, I guess, group play games, you would call it. Those first few exhibition friendlies, you know, are not being counted in these stats. But regardless, I think, like, in these games, again, doesn't feel like he has the highest usage or the highest load. And he ends up still coming out as the leading scorer. I know he had that big scoring game that is also juicing up these numbers a little bit, since it's not that many games. But, like, they don't need him to be the number one guy, but he can be at any moment. And he's doing this off the bench. And like I mentioned, right, very, very dynamic two-way lineup. So it's been fun to watch.
All right, I'll take the next two. Durant and LeBron. Say this. First thing, the fact that KD came back off the injuries and was just on fire. Now he's the all-time leading scorer for Team USA. I mean, if there are any questions about what Durant can be when he's healthy, those questions should not exist. Like, this is just a question of health with him. He can play at this level for another 2 or 3 years, I think. Pretty close to where LeBron is. I mean, he's always been conditioned differently than LeBron, but for his game, like, it's aged perfectly, other than the absences, really, and other than him putting together some teammate combinations that don't really work. But beyond that, I think this has been a reminder of just, I mean, he's honestly the easiest scorer we've seen in this era. It's why they call him Easy Money Sniper. LeBron, I've loved LeBron's Olympics. I think him looking at this team, realizing what they needed, that Haliburton probably wasn't going to play a lot, Steph was going to play off the ball more, that they really needed somebody to handle and set everybody up. And I mean, if you look at LeBron's numbers right now, this has been, for somebody who does have a huge ego, we know it, nobody denies it, he's kind of played egoless basketball this entire time. He's just taken what they've given him. His passing has been at another level. And the numbers reflected. 13.8 points, 5.8 rebounds, 7.8 assists. He's been tremendous. I think, and it more better than if he was averaging 22, in my view. How do you think Booker's played? He's averaging 12.3, 2.5 rebounds, and 4 assists.
I've actually been pretty impressed with him. Like, another guy who, you know, doesn't get a lot of credit for being able to play well around others. He's done it now, you know, they've had some faltering playoff runs these past couple of seasons, but like, Booker can do it. And I think seeing the way that he is, you know, his role has changed drastically playing alongside these guys. He's not really creating on ball most of the time. It feels like him and Steph, you know, with Steph, of course, running around more because he's much more prone to doing that. But him and Steph feel like kind of like decoys out there, right? Because you have so much scoring talent that you can, you know, have these guys be overqualified to play like Duncan Robinson sort of roles, right? Where it's like you can just come off of screens and be a shooting threat, and that's going to generate offense on its own. It's like you have so much else, right, that you can afford to do that. And Booker has just been more successful at it so far. Like, Steph hasn't shot the ball well from three. He's actually been much, much better and more impactful, like, from two, right, whenever he does get open running around, than from three, which I think, you know, will come around. It's only been a few games. Even it hasn't been good yet though. But I do think it's a variance thing. And right now, Booker is just the one doing it at a higher level because the shots are falling. But he is out there, like, hustling on defense, trying to fight over screens. Like, he's not playing lazy superstar basketball where it's, you know, all the effort is put into the offensive side of the floor, and then on defense they're kind of being thrown on, you know, the weakest offensive player. Like, it's none of that. He is really trying to fight over screens. He's playing defense, and like, I've been impressed. This is what I enjoy about this too. It's like, these teams are so stacked that guys are essentially forced into playing roles that they would never play in the NBA, and I enjoy watching that. And that's why, like, I understand, you know, the need for like a Derek White or whatever, but I also am like, make these superstars play defense and play a role, because they don't have the offensive load. They can use, you know, they can use that energy that otherwise, you know, they would be using it. If it was the NBA season, like, you know, use it on other things. And I think Devin Booker has done a great job of that.
All right, I'll take the three bigs here because they're kind of all in a row, although Jrue Holiday's scoring kind of separates them. Embiid's averaging 11, 4-1. Anthony, a lot of that was padded in the first half today. Anthony Davis, 9.5, 7.3, and 2.5. And Bam, 8.5, 5.3, and 1.8. I think what's pretty clear about this so far is that unless Embiid is featured, he's not the guy to fill a role. Not in this level of comp, not in this type of competition. I've been very impressed with AD. I mean, before we've talked a lot about Bam, but I've just been very impressed with AD. I think that sometimes we get caught up in with him specifically the street clothes thing and everything. He played 75 games this past season. It's hard to be LeBron's teammate. Okay, I've witnessed it firsthand in Cleveland and in Miami. I think he does as good a job with it in handling all that stuff as possible. I always will wonder kind of what he would have continued to be if he had or developed into if he had remained sort of the number one guy in a franchise. He didn't want to do that in New Orleans anymore. But I've been very impressed with him. To me, I think he comes out of this thing. A lot of this coming out of Olympics is coming out unscathed, right? Like no damage to your reputation. AD is not going to get any of that. I think Bam has enhanced his reputation with the general public because he's played on the same level as AD. Like, I think there are some who just watch the Lakers, watch AD, watch and don't realize, like, Bam can get to that level. Bam has outplayed AD in certain games they played against each other. I remember one a year ago as well. So I think they both enhanced their reputation. I think with Embiid, he's polarizing to begin with, and I think this is going to cement opinions about him. Like, yes, you're an elite centerpiece of a franchise. You probably won't win a title as that, though. That's kind of what it feels like, and I know I'm playing the hits with you because it's Philadelphia, but that's sort of what I've taken out of this. Let me get to Drew's been great. Drew's been great. I think we thought Drew would be great. Still a high level role player, like you mentioned. I want to get to Curry with you though, because is this a shooting slump or has he lost something? Because I mean he's the same age as Durant, but Durant looks better.
I don't think he's lost anything. Like I mentioned when I was talking about Booker, I think their roles are kind of similar, but Steph doesn't stop running ever, right? We're like, that's not necessarily the case with Booker. I think both of them are playing a role, and I think right now Steph, the shots are just not, you know, falling for him. I think it's a variance thing. There's no way I'm doubting this man's shooting. Like, that's the one thing I don't think that's not going away. This man is the greatest shooter of all time, on and off ball, most likely, and you know, I'm not really doubting that. I'm expecting the shooting to come around soon. I am surprised though that it's taken this long. Like it hasn't been that many games, but it's been a few games. Like I think he's had like one good game. If you include like the first few friendlies and all that, I think it's been one good game.
He's had one,
maybe two. I'm not even sure if it was two.
What's interesting about that, Alex, is that one of the things that's always talked about with Curry is that he, and I know this is kind of seems like a joke when he's played with Golden State all these years, but that in certain years recently he hasn't had as much help, right? And that a lot of the burden has fallen on him in part because Draymond suspensions, Clay's decline, Durant leaving a few years ago, etc., Wiggins disappearing for portions of the season, that all of this stuff has fallen on Curry. And can he lead in that way anymore? And now he's on a team where he can be a complimentary piece, and he really hasn't contributed a lot. I mean, I'm the biggest Steph fan that's out there, personally and professionally. I love what he's brought to the game in every way, the way he carries himself. But I'm waiting to see a Steph game. We have not seen it yet, and you can argue that Devin's outplayed him. And
the shots have fallen for him, whereas they just haven't with Steph, and that feels like the biggest difference because. As we know, like I mentioned before, he's essentially a Duncan Robinson out there. So, you know, he doesn't have quite as much shots up to get as he does in Golden State. So sometimes it's like it's either those threes or nothing, right? Other than the rare times he gets twos, right? And those have been fine. But it feels like those threes are being covered very well, and he's just not really hitting them. He's not getting open ones, and he's not hitting the ones he usually hits. So I think it'll come around. But if it doesn't, like I think he's good, like as far as fitting in around other talents. That's another guy, like I would give credit to because he doesn't seem like he needs to have the ball all the time, and he can just play that role and he'll be fine with it. Like he seems more than fine with it, at playmaking out of that and whatever. But the shots absolutely have to fall. Booker has just flat out been more effective because the shots are falling.
All right, let's get to the last three, and I there are two Celtics on here. And I would argue that, well, here, let me give you the numbers first. Tatum, 6.3 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Derek White, 4.8 points, 1.8 rebounds, 2 assists. And Tyrese Halliburton in a very limited role, 2.7 points, no rebounds, 0.7 assists. Let's start with Tatum and White first. It feels like it's been stock up for, not that Derek White's a better player than Tatum, he's not, but it does feel like it's been stock up for White and stock down for Tatum. Just because I don't really know what Tatum's role is on this team. Is that fair?
No, I think that's 100% fair. Like, you know, his game just looks very awkward out there translating to the Olympic setting. And not just that, it's like translating to coming off the bench or something, or even when he's starting. Like, he looks sometimes like he doesn't know where to be. He doesn't know like when to pick his spots to contribute. And I think like he forced a couple of possessions in the game today. Like one where he just ran into like three guys in the paint and got a foul call out of it and got free throws. I was perplexed that they gave him that, because I was just perplexed with the decision in the first place to not pass out of that. And no, Derek White and Drew Holiday are not better players right now than Jason Tatum, but he just hasn't been effective. Like, he's shooting 39% from the field in the Olympics, right? Like, that's crazy. You think the percentages would be higher, right? Like, you have all this help, all the load is taken off you, and you know, like, he can get to the free throw line for them, right? Like, give him credit there. We know he can play defense. That's fine. That's all fine and dandy. Another guy who doesn't need to pound the ball to be effective. But the problem is that he just hasn't been effective. Like, from two, I think that's where it's really been, you know, it's kind of like the opposite problem of Steph. It's just like, once, if it's not an open three, like, I'm like, what are you, like, it just feels like the offense is going nowhere once he has the ball for more than like a second or two.
It seems to kind of me like he's trying to prove what his value is on the court. But again, not only is he shooting 39%, but this comes after him not shooting well in the finals. It comes after him not shooting well in clutch situations. And I do think this is going to, in some ways, affect perception of him. For those who want to anoint him as next, he wasn't the best player on his own team in the finals. He's not even the most effective player on his own team in Team USA, because Drew has been more effective and more important for them. We can make an argument about Derek White because the minutes have been more limited, but certainly Drew.
30% of 46, that's awful.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. It doesn't look like he knows. You know what they want him to be, I think? They want him to be like Carmelo was in the Olympics, and he's not Carmelo.
Oh, my God. He's so far from that.
Right. I mean, look, I had my issues with Carmelo, okay? To me, Carmelo was Alex English. If you put Carmelo's numbers next to Alex English, who played for Denver for years, like, they were the same numbers. Carmelo got overhyped, in my view, in some ways, because he won the championship in 1 year in Syracuse, and then also because he was in New York. Okay, I think Carmelo got put on the LeBron, Dwayne Wade, CP3 level when he didn't belong there necessarily. Okay,
am I reading this right? That Jason Tatum is shooting 0% from three.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Do you remember making one?
I didn't realize it was that bad. Like,
that he has no role on his team. But what I'm saying is, like, Carmelo, would have found scoring. He would have found scoring.
Fantastic in this role.
Right. I hate to say it, Paul Pierce would have been. I know that's sacrilege, but they're looking for some. Honestly, let me throw this at you right now. We're not even going to get into the gym. Well, we could ask the Jimmy question before we close here. Would Paul George or Jimmy Butler be more effective than Tatum right now?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think I'm not sure about Paul George, just because sometimes he, you know, in certain games, like, already,
I think he would be.
On his team, I think you can make that case for sure, especially because Tatum is just playing so bad. So it's kind of easy to make a case right now for another star. But I just think, like, PG is a guy who sometimes, like, almost just blends into the background when he's not having a great game playing with other stars. And it's fine, right? Like, it's cool to have a star who can do that and just play a role. But I don't think he would necessarily be awesome. I think Jimmy is more than fine playing a role. But I do think, like, it's him getting downhill and playing that bully ball style. Like, I think, you know, would be cool here too. And I just think he would be more effective at that than what Tatum is doing right now, which is not being effective from two or three.
Would Jaylen Brown be more
effective? Shout out to him for playing defense and rebounding, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what he did in the finals. Would Jaylen Brown be more effective than him right now?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, because I think in general, like, Jaylen Brown is a guy who doesn't try to, you know, dribble too much. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that big of a difference between what he does in the regular season. But he's another guy who is obviously streaky and would have a smaller role, smaller load. So it could be like, I could see him slumping too, or like, you know, having more turnovers than points in a certain game. Like, I think you can make a case like Brunson would have been nice, or even Mikal Bridges, not to call out two Knicks guys there. But I think those are two guys who come up in my head as like guys who could have helped. I think Brunson is just that good. And Bridges, you know, wasn't great last year for Team USA, but with the amount of talent here, like, I think he would be overqualified for the role that Derek White is currently in. Like, I think Bridges would be pretty good in that role.
All right, and the last one, and then we'll close here. Tyrese Haliburton just really has not gotten out of the gates. I mean, I think, and you mentioned it, that could have been the Brunson spot also. Both of them were on the team last summer. I think Tyrese, I think we've seen a little bit, some of this with him with style of play last year, that Indiana, the way that they were pushing, and he shot the ball so well before the All-Star break last year, that energized their offense. But I think there's definitely a stock down with Tyrese Haliburton. It does not mean that he can't recover from it. You know, I think him, Siakam, that group in Indiana will be competitive this year. But obviously, he hasn't shown out. All right, we've gone too long on this thing. Thanks to our sponsors, insurancebylinet.com. Prize Picks, use the code 5, FIVE.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Save big money on your next project. Now at Menard. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.